This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا استيقظ أحدكم من منامه فليستنثر ثلاثة فإن الشيطان يبيت على خيشومه متفق عليه. Narrated Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when one of you wakes up from his sleep, he must clean his nose with water by sniffling it in and then blowing it out three times, for shaitan spends the night inside one's nostrils. Agreed upon. وَعَنْهُ إِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ نَوْمِهِ فَلَا يَغْمِسْ يَدَهُ فِي الْإِنَاهِ حَتَّى يَغْسِلَهَا ثَلَاثًا فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي أَيْنَ بَاتَتْ يَدُهُ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ وَهَذَا لَفْظُ مُسْلِمٍ. Narrated Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when one of you wakes up from his sleep, he must not put his hands in a utensil until he has washed it three times, for he does not know where his hand was while he was asleep. Agreed upon, and this is the word of Muslim.
I'm sorry, but is this the water? If it's not water, cannot come inside. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. You can't do it, yani, this, in the area where there's no carpet. Yeah. This, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. This hadith Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu that you heard, the first one, إِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ أَحَدُكُمْ, when one of you walks up from his sleep, مِنْ مَنَامِهِ فَلْيَسْتَنْثِرْ ثَلَاثَ, he or she must blow off his nose three times, for the Satan spends the night inside one's nostrils. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَبِيتُ عَلَى خَيْشُومِهِ. This hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim, so it's one of the most authentic hadith that you can ever have, muttafaqun alayh. And this hadith came in a different narrations between al-Bukhari and Muslim. There is an addition in al-Bukhari, I want you to pay attention to it. In al-Bukhari, lafz al-Bukhari, a little bit different than the way Muslim. So this text, exactly like this in al-Bukhari and Muslim. But there is another narration in al-Bukhari, which is not in Muslim, has something different. The wording is a little bit different. In al-Bukhari, إِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ مَنَامِهِ, when one of you walks up from his sleep, same thing. فَتَوَضَّأَ فَلْيَسْتَنْثِرْ. In al-Bukhari said, if he is making wudu, he must blow his nose. The one we just read didn't mention if he wants to make wudu. It said, blow your nose. But the one in al-Bukhari, it says, if you make wudu, blow your nose. What's the difference between the two? The first one is general. And when you wake up, you blow your nose. The second one is specifically in a case of wudu. واضح؟ مقيد في حال الوضوء فقط. Okay? So, in Muslim, he reported خياشيمه وليس خيشومه. Okay? Nostril. Did he nostrils? He translated like this. It should nostril. In Muslim, nostrils with S, plural, as if there is more than one. You know, I guess because one and two, this is considered plural. طيب. Here, if you walks up from your sleep, so blow your nose, okay? And blowing the nose, we talked about before, it is basically when you put the water inside, then you blow it out. And here the hadith ordered us to blow our nose, didn't talk about putting the water inside the nose, because it's obvious, we talked about that before. So the hadith mentioned one action and it meant two, which it means you put the water inside, then you blow it. Okay? يعني هو الاستنشاق والاستنثار جميعا. لكن أتى بلفظ الاستنثار, he only mentioned blowing the nose, because it's obvious, you're not going to blow your nose with water unless you put the water in first. So nobody should understand this hadith. It means you go and just blow your nose. Okay, that's not what this hadith might, and you can go to the sink and you just blow your nose. That's not what the hadith is saying. And istinthar in Arabic language is not blowing the nose. It means you, because that's how you translate it. That's right in your version of translation. Put the water inside, then you blow your nose. Okay, that's what the istinthar means. And he said that the shaitan spend the night. فإن الشيطان يبيت, spend the night in one's nostril. Spend the night came from the word يبيت. البيتوتة in Arabic language, it means you spend the night. So that means that this hadith only talking about spending the night when you sleep in the night. See? So the hadith said يبيت. So it means this ruling only in relation to spending the night, when you sleep in the night, or this apply to other parts of the days. Let's say you're taking a nap. Okay? Would that apply to this and this? We'll talk about this, inshallah, in a little bit. He said, because the shaitan spend the night in your nostril, في خيشومي, in your nose. Here, القاضي عياض رحمه الله said there is two ways to understand this wording. The shaitan spend the night inside your nostril or inside your nose. Number one, that it takes it literally. That literally, الشيطان, and here الشيطان, it doesn't refer to the devil, the Satan who refused to make sujood to Adam. Refer to him and his children, الشيطان in general. الهنا ليست العهدية وإن جنس الشياطين, يعني all the شياطين. They spend the night in that nose. Al-Qadhi Iyad said, this is basically where they have access to the soul and to the inner body. He said, because this is one of the things that it has access actually to inside you. You know, the ear doesn't have an access to your throat and to your basically abdominal area or inside your. According to Al-Qadhi, he said it doesn't have access to your heart. He said, but the nose, it does. And he said, and that's one of the way the shaitan whispers to the human beings. And he goes through the nose. Okay? And we don't know really how shaitan whispers to the person, but this is something from the world of the unseen. Okay? And he said, Al-Qadhi Iyad rahimahullah ta'ala, that this is like the thing that Allah told us about the hellfire and paradise and the jinn and things happen. We don't know really how it happened, Ya'juj wa Ma'juj and all these things. We don't know how that works. But we know that this is basically one of where the shaitan likes to access to the human being. And they do even mention things which is like, he said, one of the reasons they get, because this is never closed. It's always access. Okay? It's not like your mouth, you close it. You know, some people, when they sleep, they don't close their mouth, but most of people do. But he said this is open all the time, and the shaitan access to it. The other meaning, okay, they said no. This, not literally a shaitan spend the night here in that part of your body, or it's your nostrils. No. They said it means, فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَبِيتُ. الشيطان spend the night. الشيطان here referred to everything which is not appropriate. Not الشيطان, the jinn. No. It means something dirty. الشيطان represent what? Dirty things. Represent bad things. So he said that could mean that basically because your nose in the eye, when you wake up, it is filled with what? It is filled with wasakh, things which is unpleasant, that you should blow it away because it's not something that it's pleasant to be. And according to him, it has dust and it has like, you know, boogers and stuff like that. So you just blow it out and you clean your nose before you start your day and before you go to the salah. Others said, because the shaitan likes to see you dirty. Others said, no. The reason a shaitan comes to the nose, because the shaitan likes dirty places. They said, a shaitan likes dirty places. So, and the nose, it's a place where if you don't clean it, it, especially if you have hair, a lot of hair in your nose, it will gather all these boogers and all this dust in it. It will not be a place which is, it's gross. You know, until today, when people pick their nose, it's gross, isn't it? It's not gross? That's scary if you guys don't say no. Okay, it's a gross thing, that's right. So it's not an appropriate place. So because of that, this is a gross place. A shaitan always like to gather in such places. That's why they gather in the bathroom, they gather in the... This is, some ulama said that. I really don't know if that's very make much sense, because I can tell you other parts of your body, it's much grosser than your nose, okay? It's like your bottom, you know? If we're going to start speak about like the like najasat and impure place, if we're going to use that logic can go beyond us, right? So I'm not very big, any fan of that explanation that people give. So they said, it's a figurative speech. It doesn't mean that the shaitan himself spend the night, but it means dirty things stay in your nose, okay? And wallahu a'lam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ash-shaytan here, it doesn't mean dirty things. It means ash-shaytan, which is the shayateen. How, why, exactly this place, not other places, Allah knows. Best. We really don't know. That's part of the world of the unseen. We accept the hadith as it is. So in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ, when you woke up, blow your nose. And the other narration said, when you make wudu, blow your nose. Same question. Is this order to everyone? Blow your nose to everyone? Why? The ulama said, yani the shaitan spend the night in everybody's nose. From the hadith, it looks like what? The hadith looks like everyone, that's right? Cover everybody. But this became mushkil. There is a problem here. Because in Sahih al-Bukhari, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ وَعَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ 100 times, كَانَتْ لَهُ حِرْزًا مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ يَوْمَهُ ذَلِكَ. It will protect you from the shaitan this whole day. Okay? And if you do it in the night, the whole night. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the famous hadith, if you read Ayatul Kursi before you go to sleep, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا يقربك شيطان حتى, or the Prophet approved that statement, الشيطان, no shaitan will come close to you. So if the, how come the shaitan will not be close to you, you're protected from the shaitan, الشيطان spend the night in your nose. On an asphalt. So that became a mushkil. Okay? We say there is no problem, there's no contradictions. Because the hadith said that you are protected from the whispering, from the influence of the shaitan. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't have, basically, the ability to spend the night in this place from you. And it could be referred, in my opinion, wallahu a'lam, that this hadith referring to the qareen of the person. You know, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every person has a qareen, a companion from jinn. And that's what it looks like to me. That your qareen spend the night in that part of your body. I don't know the whole entire jinn or part of it. We don't know even how the size of the jinn is. Big, small, how big, we don't know. Okay? But it looks to me that this is what the qareen does. He basically spend the night here. Yes, you are protecting from their waswasa, but it doesn't mean that they cannot touch your body or they cannot be close to you or spend the night in that person. That's why we say that this hadith applied to every person. You read Ayatul Kursi or not? You said, La ilaha illallah sharika lah, 100 times or not? You just blow your nose. Okay? And here, question. If blowing the nose is something been ordered to do to everyone wake up or only when we make wudu? I'm not going to make wudu. I just woke up, but I don't want to make wudu. I'm not going to pray, you know, now. let's say, a sister who has her menses. Perfect example. She's not going to make wudu to pray. Where she need to do that, or only apply, or the Prophet ﷺ talking about, as this is part of the wudu. As of the Prophet ﷺ said, if you make wudu after you spend the night, you must blow your nose. You understand? Some said, some of the ulama said, this hadith is part of the wudu. This hadith is part of the wudu. And others said, no, the Prophet ﷺ gave this as a general rule. You're making wudu or you're not making wudu. You should blow your nose. And if we say it is part of the wudu, we discussed before, is blowing the nose wajib or sunnah? And we said that the Hanbali said it is wajib, while the Shafi'i, the Maliki, the Hanafi said it what? Recommended. It's not wajib. So blow the nose for them. It's here in this hadith will be also highly recommended for those who wake up, but still will not be wajib. But the Hanabila believe that this is another clear evidence, which is the Prophet said, فَلْيَسْتَنْثِرْ. It's an order from him. So it means we must blow our nose during that wudu. He said three times, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say three times, it is recommended, but it's not must. As-San'ani rahimahullah said in his explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, he said, al-hadith shows you that it is obligatory to blow your nose when you wake up from sleep, regardless. But in al-Bukhari, it says only when you make wudu. So we take the muqayyad and we understand, the muqayyad is specific, which is during wudu, to understand the general, the mutlaq, the common one, which it says when you wake up. So he said, so that's why we say it must be done only during wudu, but not outside the wudu. I couldn't find any scholar said blowing the nose when you wake up from sleep is must, except Ibn Hazm, the Shafi'i, the Maliki, the Hanbali. Outside the wudu, everybody agree it is recommended act. Ibn Hazm is the only one who said it is must. Okay? And this is basically his opinion. He said it is must be done regardless wudu or not. When you wake up in the morning, when you go to the water, the first thing you do, you put water on your nose and you blow it three times. And he said it's must. But wallahu a'lam, he is going against the consensus of the Muslim scholars. وَذَهَبُ ضُدَّ إِجْمَاعِ الْعُلَمَاءِ قَاطِ. From the time of the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, the successor, the follower, successor, nobody ever said what he said, rahimahullah. No alim, no faqih that I know of or I'm aware of, or al-ulama, rahimahullah, mentioned that ever agreed with Ibn Hazm before him or after him, rahimahullah. And if somebody said it's wajib, he only, like the Hanabila, referring to the wudu as part of the wudu act. As for the second hadith, there's also another etiquette when you woke up in the morning, which is, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when one of you wakes up from his sleep, he must not put his hand in a utensil till he has washed and has washed it three times. So if you woke up in the morning, please don't go cut the bread. Don't put your hand in the water. If there is like a bowl of water, don't put your hand in something that it will be eaten, or pick up some of the grapes that or dates with your hand. You must wash your hand first. Also, you must wash your hand before what? Before you make wudu or you know, or touch your face. Must not put his hand in a utensil till he has washed it three times, for he doesn't know where his hand was while he slept. Also, this hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. طيب, here in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not put your hand on the utensil. Do not put your hand in something. Is this for to make it haram, or it's not recommended? What do you guys think? Not recommended, but it's not forbidden, not a sin. Why? Why would you say that? Mistake is mistake. But talk about the rules here. When he said, do not put your hand, the Prophet ﷺ meant it because you didn't know where your hands spend the night. So that means it's must or not? Not must. So Mu'adh saying is not must. Why? Because in Nabi ﷺ, when he say why you should not put your hand, he said because you don't know where is your hand spend the night. And you don't know what is in your hand. Is it something dirty or your hand is clean? Okay? So since you really don't know, we cannot say it's forbidden. Because it might be clean, it might be not. So what he said. The majority of the ulama agreed with Jazallah Khair, Brother Mu'adh, Malik, Abu Hanifa, Shafi'i. Also one narration from Imam Ahmed, Rahimahullah, in Al-Insaf. And many of the scholars considered this authentic narration in the Hanabila. They said that this nahi al-karaha, this Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not, just not to recommend us to do such things. And he encouraged us to wash our hand before we touch anything as something recommendation. But there is another narration from Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, and many of the Hanabila take that, and also the Zahiri, Ibn Hazm and his group, said, no, that means it is forbidden. And if you touch anything with your hand, any utensils, any food, any water with your hand, it's a sin. They consider it haram. Okay? The majority of the fuqaha said, no, it's not. Why? They said, because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you don't know where is your hand spend the night. So since you really don't know, that give you an indication that this is not wajib, because there is no yaqeen, you're not certain about it. It's kind of doubtful matter. That's why you basically don't care for it. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for example, said, if you doubtful, did you break your wudu or not, don't leave the salah until what? You hear or you smell. That's right? So doubtful things wouldn't make anything obligatory upon me. Wouldn't make me haram for me to continue the salah. Unless I hear the sound of relieving gas, or I smell it. But other than that, if it's doubtful, I shouldn't care for it. So they said the same concept. So the Nabi said, you don't know if your hand is where it's spent. What's the possibility? That maybe when you sleep, your hand touched something najis. Of your body or somebody's else. Okay? So you don't know where your hand, what your hand touched in the morning, in the night. So that's why you should, or maybe nothing happened at all. So they said, because of this, it is not wajib. Also, he said the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, until you wash it three times. Is that must the number three times give you an indication it's just a recommended? Because the Sharia doesn't come to obligate the numbers usually. Obligate the action and the numbers, repetition, is always a recommended. But this hadith didn't differentiate. It said, wash it three times. So which it shows you something in the norm of the recommend. Also, Al-Bukhari rahimahullah said that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up in the night and he went ila shannin mu'allaqa. He went to a water skin hanging. Then in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made wudu out of it. But this hadith is not literally very clear. He said because Abbas didn't say he washed his hand first. He went to the water skin, that's what I call it, water skin, and he basically made wudu out of it. Yeah, but maybe he washed his hand first. And Ibn Abbad didn't say he did or he didn't. So that's not very good evidence. Because عدم الذكر لا يدل على عدم الوجود. Not mentioning it, it doesn't mean it's not exist. Yani since Ibn Abbad didn't say he washed his hand first, it doesn't mean he didn't. Ibn Abbas said he just made wudu. Also, one of the ways that the majority of the fuqaha used to explain why it is recommended لأن هذا يدخل في جملة الآداب. It is part of the etiquette. Take it as a rule of thumb. All the ahadith that speak about etiquette, the default rules, it is recommended act. Anything has to do with etiquette. Etiquettes of food, etiquette of sleeping, etiquettes of, you know, talking. It's always in the realm of recommended and dislike. If it's something recommended to do, recommended not to do. Very few can go to the area of forbidden and must. Okay? So the generals, أي حديث في الآداب والأخلاق, any hadith talk about etiquettes and manners of doing things, it, the default rules, it is what? Recommended act. كل الأوامر, all the orders that comes to do an etiquette, the order by default, it means a recommended, it's not must. That's a general rule of thumb, a general rule. Almost all the fuqaha, as far as I know, agree on this rule. Okay, so here we say, because of that, we say this is basically a recommended act. And also this hadith is part of the previous one, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, blow your nose. And since everybody saying blow your nose is recommended, we same thing here, don't put your hand inside your basic utensil until you wash. Spend the night. Is that means any kind of night, any kind of sleeping, or spend the night specifically? The majority of the fuqaha said this hadith only applied to the sleeping that take place in the night. Why? Because the reason in there. The reason is because that's the deep sleep. That's the long sleep. So they said in the night that's the default. But what if someone's do shift? Abdul Malik does shift. He sleep in the day and work the whole night. We said for him, okay, Muhammad, you did shifts as well, part of your life. Okay, you spend the whole night and you sleep in the day. So in these cases, we say to those people, who, what do you guys call it, graveyard shift? Graveyard shift. So basically, you spend the whole night and stay. So they said in the morning, that's became your night. Why? Because this is where the deep, deep sleep. This is where people relax and go to sleep like for a long period of time. But the generally speaking, it's about sleeping in the night. Why? Because they said again, this is where people go to sleep deeply, take off their clothes and, you know, and relax and sleep. Other ulama said, no, it applied to any sleep during the daytime or the nighttime. Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, batat, spend the night. It's just giving an example, but it doesn't mean to restrict the rules to the night. Which is, I agree with that more, because the hadith is not really restricted to the night. Okay? Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, is the one who's strict, and he said, it's only in the night. قال هو نوم الليل فقط. Hanabila specifically said, in the night. But wallahu a'lam, the reasoning applied to night or another night. The only exception I will make, if it's not a deep sleep, like somebody like took a short nap and he woke up 10 minutes. Okay? But any sleep that is deep in the same way and format of the night sleep, it will apply to it. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي أَيْنَ بَعْتَتْ يَدُهُ. Among the evidence that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and others said it's the night, they use another narration. Where the hadith, he said, إِذَا اسْتَيْقَضَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ Sunan Abi Dawood. In Sunan Abi Dawood, he said, when you woke up in the night, do not put your hand in utensil until you wash. Okay? And this hadith of Sunan Abi Dawood, عَلَى شَرْطِ مُسْلِمْ مُسْلِمْ سَاقَ إِسْنَادَهَا وَلَمْ يَذْكُرْ مَتْنَهَا The isnad was mentioned in Muslim, but the hadith itself not. Also, في Sunan Ibn Majah and Tirmidhi, إِذَا اسْتَيْقَضَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ نَوْمِ When you woke up in the morning from your, or you wake up from your sleep night. إِذَا اسْتَوْقَضَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ When you woke up in the night. So the hadith give you the indication it's talk about the night. إِذَا قَامَ أَحَدُكُمْ لِلْوُضُوءِ لِصَلَاةِ الصُّبْحِ Also in another narration, in the Abi Awana, and you woke up in the morning to pray Fajr. Don't touch anything until you wash your hand. So these narration give you the indication they talk about the night.
But I would say, yes, because that's the common thing. But it does not be restricted only to the night, as long as the sleeping that will take place during the daytime in the same manners of the night, long and deep and so forth. So what is the ruling in the water? Why? What will happen to the water if you touch it with your hand? Like let's say a bowl of water, or like there is a food, or you touch it before you wash your hand. Okay? Jamahir Ahl al-Ilm, the overwhelming number of the scholars said nothing. It is not recommended. It's with mustaqdar. Huh? Hygiene. It's just a good thing to do. Okay? Only al-Hasan al-Basri said this water will be najis, impure, because of the possibility that you have najasa in your hand. But I don't know anyone else, or Nawawi rahimahullah said, no one said that, and this is a weak madhab. قال هذا مذهب ضعيف. This is a weak madhab, weak opinion. لا شك في ضعفي. No doubt it is a weak opinion. ضعفه ظاهر. Nawawi rahimahullah, very strong. He said, very clearly it is a weak opinion. And he said, no doubt, very clear it is weak. It is indeed a weak opinion. Okay, and I agree with the Nawawi rahimahullah, that's not a strong opinion at all. Al-Hanabila rahimahullah said, if the water is a small amount and you put your hand in it, you might make it najis. Some of the Hanabila said that, but the majority of the fuqaha said they would not make it a najis. I'm saying this because it might apply to you when you are camping. This is something maybe you're not going to use it in a faucet, but maybe when you're camping and you have a bowl of water or touch it or something like that, maybe. Why? Why all this talk? Why there is recommended for us to wash our hand before we dip it? The hadith says, you don't know where your hand slept. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah said, because Ahlul Hijaz, the people of Hijaz, and during the process of time, their land is very hot. So when they go to sleep, they don't cover themselves. And you know, in the old days, they don't have what? Underwear. They don't have pajamas. They don't have pants. That's right. Basically, literally, people go naked to bed. They take their clothes off, and they go under bed, and they cover themselves with the bed sheet. That's it. So Imam al-Shafi'i said, and in these days, in that time, and it's a common, that they don't have water also. So most of the time, how they clean themselves? يستجمرون. Shafi'i rahimahullah said, most of the time they use rocks and, you know, maybe the leaves, tree leaves, stuff like of that nature. So they don't have water. So basically, there may be still athar, some of the stains of the najasa in their, in certain areas, in their body. Okay? And if somebody's a woman, for example, maybe discharges, or someone sleeping next to a baby, or a woman next to a man, or a man next to a woman, maybe there is anything, maybe somebody in the night had some discharges from his penis or something like that. You don't know what can happen. So they said, or maybe you're sleeping in a place, can you imagine the old days? Maybe there is a dog feces or cat or whatever. You don't know what is next to you, what's the situation? So you don't know what you have touched in the night. And because of that, they said it is not right for you to touch anything until you wash your hand, because that will be a hygiene or something recommended. What Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah said, it became, everybody comes after al-Shafi'i start saying what al-Shafi'i said in the same wording or different. You find al-Khattabi, al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, and many others. They said also, because in Sahih al-Khuzaymah, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي أَيْنَ بَاتَتْ يَدُهُ مِنْ. You don't know where is your hand slept or spend the night in your body, and you want to touch from your body. Okay? Other scholars said, no, that's not what it is. When the Prophet ﷺ said, you don't know where your hand, where did your hand spend the night, is not actually about touching najasa or impurity or anything like that. They said the reason for it is unknown. The reason for it is what? Unknown. That's what we call it in fiqh, what? Illah ta'abudiyya. The reasoning behind it is pure submission. No reasoning behind. Can anyone in this crowd tell me, Abdullah, or anyone, can tell me how these two opinions will make a difference? Those who said there is no really reasoning behind, and the one who said no, there is a reasoning, which is the possibility of touching part of your body or something around you, which is impure. How this will affect further recommendation? Yeah, they said, we don't know the reason too. It could be yes, could be impure. I forgot to complete what they said. So they said, maybe what is touch your hand while you're sleeping, the shaitan. Like the shaitan spend the night in your nostril, it may be touched by the shaitan as well. And they said the hadith is the same hadith. Hadith Abu Hurairah, the previous one, and this was, is one hadith, kharaja makhrajan wahid. The same hadith coming from the same time the Prophet. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah actually goes with that opinion. He said maybe this is where the shaitan spend the night or touch you. They said it's ta'ab, we don't know. Something belong to the unseen. If we see the reasoning, we know. The reasoning is because you might touch something from your body or someone else that made your hand najis.
So you could say if you're no longer sleeping.
If that possibility is not longer exist, so the ruling is not any longer exist. For example, if you say, you know what, I'm wearing my pajamas. I'm covered. So in this case, you might say, oh, but maybe you stick your hand inside your pants. Okay, while you sleep. That's possible. Who knows what you do in the night? But what if, al-fuqaha, I give an example. What if you put your hand in gloves? They said, let's you put your hand in gloves. According to the first group, khalas, the rule doesn't apply to you anymore. Because for sure your hand is clean the whole night. Okay? Or somebody watching you the whole night, and the whole night your hand didn't touch anything bad. So they said, because of the reasoning, if it is more likely, you're safe from it, so the rule doesn't apply. Ibn Taymiyyah said, it doesn't matter. If you put a gloves, if you put wrap it with, you know, it doesn't matter, because it's not the issue of touching something najis or not. The Prophet never said that. He said, you didn't know where is your, what will happen to your hand in the night. So he said it's ta'abbudi, it's something not reasoning that we know. There is a reason, but we don't know what the reason exactly. So that's why he said, in any case, you have to wash your hand first. Yes? Absolutely. So that's what I was going to say, that regardless what, it is a good hygiene. It is a recommended act, okay, that you wash your hand regardless what. And there is always possibility you don't know what happened to you in your, maybe you put it in your mouth, maybe you put it in your nose, who knows, put it in your ear. I don't know what happened in your hand while you sleep. Okay, so it is, that's why it is highly recommended for the person to put to wash his hand before he touch anything, and he puts his hand in any water or eat anything from food. And I see this even sometimes the kids, you wake up in the morning and before he washes his hand, he goes and he grabs things. You know, make it a good habit that you wash your hands first. So you remember, I told you, washing hands in wudu is what? Sunnah, it's not must. Okay? So if you take the water with your hand and you start washing your face, you know, and you don't know what's in your hand, it's good to clean your hand before that water goes to your face and goes to your nose and goes to your mouth, you know? So it's good to wash your hand first. And that's what basically the hadith is all about. It's a good hygiene to blow your nose and to wash your hand before you move forward. Also, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in another hadith said, when you blow your nose, one of the uqad shaytan goes away. One of the knots that the shaytan put in your neck will go away. Okay, you mentioned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when you make wudu and you blow your nose in wudu, basically also you move the shaytan, it would wake you up. Some of the ulama said when you blow your nose, should you wash your face as well? The hadith didn't say that, but some of the ulama said it's also recommended to wash your face after you blow your nose when you wake up in the morning. So to start with washing your hands, then you blow your nose and you wash your face or you make the wudu, and you start your day clean and fresh. So this is some of the issues related to these two hadiths. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi.